They have their fingers on the pulse of the sports world. This is Scheman and Shepard.
Yeah, exactly.
On 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Yeah!
Are you ready?
Get up! You want energy?
That's some energy! Craig Scheman, Pete Shepard, Southwest Florida sports leader, 99.3 ESPN.
I was waiting him to be the smartass that he is and play when the Saints go marching in and then go dun 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 dun.
Oh, I should have done that.
Sad trombone?
Yeah.
I already had Disturbed potted up.
No, it's great, right. Great tune.
That but is good. So,
we leave the studio for 30 seconds and all hell breaks loose.
It does. So, we got an action packed hour. We got our pigskin picks. We got to do that. Usually takes this whole segment. Gabe Morenci's coming up. But in case you just got in the car. Dez Bryant, who you know just signed with the Saints for the rest of the year for $600,000.
He wasn't going to play this week because they want him to drop weight.
Yeah.
But you're not going to play maybe again.
Possibly torn Achilles today, like this hour.
MRI, undergoing an MRI right now.
You brought up a good point off the air. Friday's a light day.
Yeah.
So he's probably putting in extra work.
Maybe Drew's down. Working with him on the side, just trying to get timing pattern. And I'm sure it was probably a harmless cut, but how many times have we seen that with so many players over the years?
Yeah.
If you're not in great shape, even when you are in great shape sometimes.
You got to wonder if this will end his career. And this means the November 29th game against Dallas for the Union.
It's not a calf. It's not a ham. It's a torn Achilles.
That's a year. And
done.
He was kind of done here because nobody wanted him until now.
Done. Like dinner. Done.
That's too bad.
It is. I was looking. We all like a comeback story, right?
I mean, I know a lot of people were excited to pick him up on the fantasy waiver wire. You know, I was.
But I kind of wasn't.
That he could be like a contributor once you got to the playoffs. Drop him.
I picked up Tre'Quan Smith last week. So
now, I have him on a few of my teams as well.
Now he'll get more touches.
Yeah.
Sorry. Right. No, but it would have been interesting to see how he would have fit in.
Yeah. They still and now the Saints still need a second receiver.
Again, not confirmed, but he is getting an MRI right now. And when the team says we fear it's a torn ACL, that
torn Achilles.
Or I'm sorry, Achilles. Yeah.
All right. Real quick update on our Twitter poll on sensitive fan bases: Cowboys, Steelers, or
right now
Patriots.
We got 305 votes, 44% Cowboys, 32% Patriots, 24% Steelers.
I even voted on that one.
I know who you voted for.
Yes, I did.
No, you both voted for.
I didn't vote.
I don't vote. I don't vote
then
the
you
time.
Don't get a button.
What are you talking about?
I voted sticker.
A
sticker, whatever.
Yo vote.
Yeah. I love this text from the 863. Because you know the Pigskin Picks is our favorite time of the week.
Well, it's the highlight of the week for everyone.
The 863 texting in on the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. Left a client meeting early to get in the car for the Pigskin Picks. Give me a bonus pick with Michigan, 40 over Rutgers.
Michigan. I think they
beat
them.
40.
They beat them last year, I think 77 to nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They will cover.
It was in Ann Arbor.
That was in Ann Arbor?
It was in Ann Arbor. It was 77 nothing, I believe, last
year. It wasn't better 2 years ago when the game was in Rutgers. It was a similar score there.
Lay the 40 or 50.
Whatever it is.
It's 40. It's 39 and a half. Lay it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got people blowing off sales meetings so they can listen to the Pigskin Picks. Let's give the people what they want, a tradition like no other. It is time for the Scheman and Shepard Pigskin Picks. That's where you fire up the band.
Dun, dun, dun.
Wrong button.
All right. A brief recap after a slow start here. I, Craig Scheman, have a commanding lead at 5 games over .500 at 37-32-3 against the spread. Pete Shepard is warming up the band. He is within 1 game of .500, 3 games back. 34-35-3.
You and I were both 5-2 last week.
Yes. And then there's Chris. Let's not even mention Chris.
We have to.
He's 23-41-3. He's a little behind. He's a few games out of first, as they say. We'll start it off with college football. The Clemson Tigers taking on Boston College. Tell me, game day is there for this
game?
They
are. They'll be there 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. All day.
All right. Now, here's the deal. Clemson is a 19.5-point favorite. I was scared the last time Clemson had a huge, I think, 17-point spread against North Carolina State a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it was. It was on the road, too. Was
and
that
they delivered. They delivered big time. They're interested in style points, as we saw when they took on Louisville and beat them 77-0. So this week, I'm changing my deal. Clemson, I'm taking them. I'm taking them to cover the 19.5 points. What say you, Pete?
What I say is this. Game day comes to Alumni Stadium like once a decade, mainly because tailgating at Alumni Stadium sucks.
Bad.
It's real horrible. Bad. You have to bus fans in from Needham, and it stinks. And they end up kicking you out of the field. There's like only room for like 10 cars in the parking lot. You have to, you know, it's ridiculous. But it'll be a fun atmosphere. It'll be cold. The BC Eagles have the best running back in the country, in my opinion, in A.J. Dillon. A lot of things going for him. Up-and-coming defense. Offense isn't bad either. However, this is a team that blew out NC State a couple weeks ago. NC State last night stinks. They can't beat Wake Forest at home. Bottom line is this. Clemson is not going to let up. I think Dillon will have his yards. It won't be enough. I think BC loses this one. By a respectable 24 points, Clemson minus 19.5 lay it.
All right, Chris, you need to make up some ground, buddy. What you got?
Did you just say respectable 24 points?
Yes.
Like
last week, LSU
had
a respectable 29-point loss last week. So. Well, I think it was respectable.
It was.
You talk about A.J. Dillon being the best, one of the best running backs in the country. Clemson allows 90 yards on the ground per game. They're really good. Like, all four of their defensive linemen will be playing on Sunday. They should probably be playing on Sunday this year. I do need to make up ground, but this isn't the place to do it.
Right.
I'll lay the 19.5 and take Clemson.
Unanimous.
On to the Big Ten. Ohio State on the road, taking on Sparty. The Buckeyes are a 4-point favorite. Look, Ohio State has not been playing well as of late. Heck, they almost lost to lowly Nebraska last week. But they are going on the road. I do know Sparty will step up and play well. But I feel like Ohio State will do just enough to eke out a 4, 5, or 6-point win and come home with the victory. I'll take Ohio State in this one.
This is so tough because last week was the week when Ohio State was home against Nebraska. When they get humiliated every year like they do to a Purdue or to an Iowa, they have come back the following week and won by 35, 40 points. That didn't happen last week against maybe an up-and-coming Nebraska team in a couple of years, but they barely hung on to win that game. 2 years ago, the Buckeyes barely hung on. Barely hung on at Spartan Stadium and pulled out a 17-16 win. I think more of the same here. I am not a believer anymore at Ohio State that they have the capability of blowing people out. Sorry, I don't see it happening. Michigan State, good spot here. I'm going with the Spartans, plus the 4.
All right, going with Sparty. What do you say, Chris?
I don't know anything about these two teams. I thought Ohio State was really good. Sorry, Buckeye, you're not. The last time I saw Michigan State play was that Michigan game. And sheesh, did they get 100 yards on total offense in that game?
They might not have. It was in a sleet storm.
Yeah, that was
A 21-7. I can't imagine the weather's going to be any better in East Lansing this weekend, right?
Yeah, I haven't looked.
I mean, if I got to play something here, I'm going to play the under at 50.5.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I like that too. But we don't do that here.
I know.
You're stuck.
I have no clue. I'll take the 4, and I'll go with Sparty here.
All right.
Don't feel confident about it, though.
From the Big Ten to the SEC, Auburn at Georgia. Bulldogs, 14.5-point favorites. Down year for Auburn. Every time I've gone against Georgia, they've burned me by blowing out the opponent. So I think being at home, Auburn down this year. I think Georgia wins. I think Georgia covers the 14.5. I'm taking the Bulldogs. What say you, Pete?
Well, Tigers coming off a big 28-24 win over Texas A&M. But this is a team that lost to Tennessee. Sorry, Enough said. Georgia by 20 to 30 points in this game. They get it done in a big way. They're home. Blowout city. Lay it. This line is off by two touchdowns.
Chris?
Auburn is one-dimensional this year. They have a very tough time running the ball. Like, they can throw it okay. They're fine in that department with Jarrett Stidham. They got some talent at wide receiver. But a one-dimensional offense going up against Kirby Smart, I don't like that. I'll lay the 14.5 there and roll with the Bulldogs at home.
Let's move on to the National Football League. Washington Redskins, or the team from Washington, whatever you want to say, politically correct. Coming to Tampa Bay to take on the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are 3-point favorites at home, which means it's almost a pick-up game. Washington has had some problems recently. Three of their starters, five starters up front, have been injured. Adrian Peterson is going to need some help. Adrian Peterson started drinking this week with his buddies going, what am I going to do? And then he said, well, I'm going to do more. And I think, and this is hard because they're so injured and on the road, I think Adrian Peterson will do more because the Buccaneers' defense stinks. I think it's a downward spiral for the Buccaneers. I'm gonna go Redskins on this one. I'm probably gonna regret it because you just can't lose three offensive linemen and win. But it's the Buccaneers. They're playing. I'll take the Redskins. I'll take my chances. I'm on a hot streak. I'm taking the Skins in this one.
Wrong, sir. Wrong.
As many times you say I'm wrong, I seem to be in first place. I'm just saying.
I'll tell you my reasons. One is what you just brought up, three different offensive linemen. I think that happened to them last year, and they still beat Seattle 17-14 when that happened to them. However, this is at the very intimidating, never-frozen tundra, Raymond James Stadium.
Okay.
This is Fitzmagic with one last little magic hat trick. Remember that?
Yeah.
In his, up his, he's got it. Buccaneers are allowing 34.4 points. Part of the problem is a minus 15 turnover ratio. Worst in the league, both of those numbers. They haven't created a turnover in five games. Seems impossible, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes the impossible can become possible. You know why? Because of this stat. The Washington Redskins have lost five straight on the road to NFC South teams. Buccaneers get it done by 4 to 7 points. They will cover. Tampa Bay, baby.
All right.
They're alive.
I'm still rooting for Fitzpatrick, by the way.
Yes.
All right, Chris. What do you say?
Did you guys know Washington's leading the NFC East?
Yes.
Like, by full game.
Whoa.
First place.
That's unbelievable.
They got blasted last week by Atlanta.
That's my point. Like, they're not a very good football team.
Or a good division.
I don't really like Alex Smith all that much.
No.
He's okay. I don't think he can score enough points to keep up with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Woo! Whoa, hey, I agree. Can he throw the ball down the field?
I'll lay the three and give me the home team Bucks.
All right, very good.
Very smart, wise,
intelligent. Let's go to the West Coast. Seattle on the road, taking on the Rams. The Los Angeles Rams are 9.5-point favorites in this one. They're coming off their first loss of the season. I doubt they're going to lose two in a row. However, a little sidebar, some devastating wildfires are moving through Los Angeles right now. The Rams had to cancel practice at their facility today. However, I don't think this will affect the game at the Coliseum. It's a different part of Los Angeles. However, I'll go back to my original statement. I don't think the Rams are losing two in a row. I think they're motivated. I think they win this game, and they cover the 9.5. I'm taking it. Let's say you, Pete.
I'm going back and forth. And this is the hardest line we have all week right here, to be honest with you. Seahawks have lost the last two meetings with the Rams. They need a win. Russell Wilson. The Rams' pass defense is ranked 25th, but big deal. I can't do it. I really want to pick Seattle here with the points. It seems like a whole lot of points for the reasons you said. You never know. Is the Rams distracted at all because of the wildfire, yada, yada, yada. But I think there's just enough in the tank. They can win this game by 10 to 14 points. So I am taking the Rams, laying it at minus 9.5.
All right, Chris.
Late cover.
Thank you very much, boys. This is where I will pick up a game on you guys. 9.5 points. It is too much. Seattle, they kind of started off the season bad. They're finding their stride. I think they're getting to a good spot. Listen, the Rams are going to win this game. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I got too much respect for Russell Wilson. And that defense is it's turning into a good defense again. It's not the Legion of Boom like it was. I'll take the 9.5 points going on the road. Seattle loses by, I'll say 6 points, 30-36. High scoring game there.
All right.
You know they lost last week to the Chargers by 8.
Okay. Would that have won the 9.5?
But they weren't favored by 9.5.
But would that have covered the 9.5?
No, but...
Yes, it would have. Thank you.
Oh, I mean, yes, it would have covered the 9.5.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
But the Chargers were only favored by 4. They
28,
covered.
30. They lost 31-33 to the Rams just 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. At their place.
How much is home field worth?
19 points.
3 points. That's 19. My point, Pete.
19 points.
Let's concentrate on the next game on the docket. The New Orleans Saints on the road at Cincinnati. The Saints are 6-point favorites in this one. Couple of interesting tidbits of this game in case you missed it at the top of the hour. Dez Bryant, who the Saints just signed, who we were not even sure if he was going to play or not, possibly has torn his Achilles and will not ever play for the Saints. That's just breaking news this hour. We told you that 18 minutes ago. The Cincinnati Bengals are also missing a wide receiver, A.J. Green, and I think that is a huge factor in this one. I think the Saints are the best of the NFC. They continue to roll. It's just Cincinnati. They're going to win, and they're going to cover the 6 points. I'm taking Drew Brees and the Saints.
Wise choice, because really it's Joe Mixon or bust, I think, for the Bengals in this game. And I know they're home. I wish I knew what the weather was going to be. But that could be a factor here. But I cannot go against New Orleans right now. I think 6 points won't be an issue for them. Dez Bryant or no Dez Bryant, like you said, no A.J. Green. Cincinnati is 3-6-1 in games without Green. So that favors the New Orleans Saints big time. I'm going with New Orleans as well. Latest six.
All right, Chris, are you tempted by the six here?
No, I am not. A.J. Green already ruled out. Giovanni Bernard, the backup running back, he's only questionable. Another receiver's out. Vontaze Perfect out. Tyler Kroft out. They are hit hard by the injury bug. And New Orleans, I think, is playing the best football in the NFL right now. I don't care about Dez Bryant going down. That doesn't really affect the line here in this game, I don't think. I see it at 5.5, but okay, we'll go 6. That's fine. I'll lay the 6. Give me the Saints.
All right, one more game. We go to the NFC East, and it's not the first-place Redskins. It's the lowly Dallas Cowboys and the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles in Philly. Philly, a 7.5-point favorite in this, and they get to dust off their brand-new toy, Golden Tate III. Who, by the way, has already taken on the Cowboys this year as a member of the Detroit Lions. I believe he had 8 catches and 132 yards. Expect more of the same as Carson Wentz enjoys his new weapon on this one. Dallas stinks anyway. They're in a funk. It's in Philadelphia. I'm taking Philly to cover the 7.5.
Dallas couldn't beat the 30th-ranked offense last week in the Tennessee Titans. Now, yeah, they played last year in Philadelphia. Dallas did. They won 6-0, but that was late in the year, so I'm not going to put a lot of stock in that game. Certainly, I expect them to play harder, but it won't matter. I think Philadelphia blows them out. Blows them out. Double digits. Eagles cover at home, and the humiliation that is the Dallas Cowboys continues.
All right, Chris, your last chance to catch up some ground. Which way are you going?
I'm kind of torn here because I don't think Philly is a great team right now. I think they've got the parts to be good, but they just haven't shown it. They scored 24 against Jacksonville, only 17 against Carolina. The one time they've scored over 24 points this year was against the Giants, who are terrible. But so are the Cowboys. I'll lay the 7.5 we got it at?
Yeah.
Man, you guys really don't have the right lines up in front of you. I see it at 7 here, but I can't do it. I'll lay the 7.5. I think Philly covers.
All right, very good.
Excellent.
There we have it, our pigskin picks. Pete, you and I are only different on two games.
That's fine. And my bonus Friday night parlay of the year. I'll give you a bonus tonight. Syracuse, Boise State. My parlay, my Friday night parlay of the year. Boom. Okay.
863 with a text. If the Saints win the Super Bowl, does Dez Bryant get a ring? I believe he would.
I think so.
I believe he would. He signed. He signed a contract. He just, again, in case you missed it at the top, they fear he has torn his Achilles here.
Yeah, Syracuse is only a 20-point favorite tonight.
21 right now.
Why are you two looking at different lines? You
both, because he's looking at
you
probably
both look
ESPN
at the same thing.
He doesn't, but ESPN and CBS Sportsline don't update.
I know you and Chris used the same for entertainment purposes.
Well, I don't have that entertainment purposes website up.
That's what we've been using. Those lines are skewed. But that's what we've used for 2 years.
No, they're not.
They're not good. They're not good lines.
They are good lines.
Anyway, Syracuse is going to hang 60 on Louisville tonight. Louisville can't score. That program is in turmoil right now.
Absolutely. So 21, 20 and a half, 22 late. And then Boise State, a 3-point dog at home, please. America's team losing at home. Fresno State's a good team, but Boise State at home as an underdog, forget about it.
No way. I actually agree on everything but one game this weekend.
Who does?
Pete and I.
Good luck. Smart.
Me.
You're getting it.
Good luck.
Seattle and L.A., that's the only difference. Yeah. I'll take my 10-point dog.
Okay. Enough of amateur hour. It's time for the professional. Gabe Morenci, our staff handicapper, is next. Stay with us. Scheman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.
Miss any of the show? You can get Scheman and Shepherd all the time with Scheman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Scheman and Shepherd.
Scheman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN. You heard our pigskin picks. Now it's time for the professional and friend of the program, Gabe Morenci. Find him on Twitter at Sports Rage. Of course, the Fantasy Sports Network as well. Gabe, how are you today?
What's up?
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. How you guys doing? I'm ready for some football.
We're good. Hey, do we have the over last night with the Steelers? My goodness, the Panthers, they're a good team and they got pummeled.
Yeah, you know what? I was actually on the over of that football game last night. Profitable night last night. I gave it back with some recreational plays in the NBA. You know, and I should have seen it coming. You know, the NBA's been an over machine, as you guys know, so far this year. But starting to slow down a little bit right now. The numbers are just so freaking incredibly high. But, yeah, we hit the over of that football game last night, which was nice. And, you know, we often talk about props, guys, and the long field goal prop is something that I've been known for over the years, and a prop that not a lot of people really play. But teams score so much now. We see. I mean, there's less field goal attempts. Coaches go for it way more than they used to when they're on the other team's 35-yard line. It used to be, you know, it used to be, all right, we're on a 37-yard line. It's 3rd and 13. Let's just dump it off and give our field goal kicker a chance. Now it's almost everything's two down territory. I mean, we saw the Carolina Panthers last night go for it right on the first drive of the football game. You know, and, you know, and in the old NFL, oh my God, Rivera's crazy. But, you know, teams aren't kicking as many field goals. So where I'm going with this for the props, guys, is QB passing yards is something that's just been crushing it. You know, 400 is the new 300, essentially. Used to be a big deal to throw for 300 yards in an NFL game. Now everybody does it. I mean, hell, Eli Manning, as bad as he's been this year, has thrown for like 391 yards a couple of times, 360, et cetera. So the quarterback passing yard props have been gold. Last night, Ben Roethlisberger was 299, and he was nearly there at the half. But it's crazy, Cam Newton couldn't get there because it was such a blowout. But we had a good night last night. But, hey, as I always say, unless you're a history professor, living in the past doesn't make you money. Let's rock.
Well, you know, I think a couple interesting games tonight. I'll be honest with you. I'm intrigued. And I know Louisville with Lamar Jackson has blown out Syracuse the last couple of years. Who cares about that? Call me nuts. Syracuse still actually has a shot at the ACC, the Atlantic, if Clemson should be upset by Boston College. And they'd have to lose again, obviously. But Syracuse still has a lot to play for. Call me nuts. I think they obliterate Louisville tonight. And I love Boise State at home against Fresno State. I think those two intriguing games. And it could be a you know, those two, I think Boise State and Fresno State played 2 weeks in a row last year with each winning on their home field. But it's hard to go against Boise State on the Smurf turf on a late Friday night. And I love Syracuse tonight, too. But tell me what you think. Tell me if I'm nuts.
Well, let's, you know, we're on the same page here, Pete. Let's talk first about the job that Dino Babers has done. You know, a lot of times, you know, we see these MAC coaches get promoted and go to a bigger program and a bigger situation. And, you know, he was coming from Bowling Green. You know, they generally fail for the most part. You know, we've seen it time and time and time and time again. There's been a few exceptions, but for the most part, most of these MAC coaches, they fail when they go to the Big Ten, when they go to the, you know, the American Athletic now. I was going to say the Big East, et cetera. You know, yeah. The new Big East, let's call it per se. And, you know, Babers was 4-8 in consecutive seasons. Normally, the natives and the boosters would start to get a little restless when you hire a new coach and back-to-back 4-8 seasons. But you could actually see the progress. If anyone was paying attention, you could see the progress that was being made with Syracuse football. And, you know, I don't think anybody, including Coach Babers, expected them to be 7-2 right now. And even more impressive, they're 6-2-1 against the point spread as well. I agree. You know, I think they pace these guys. And if you look back at the last couple of years, Louisville have drilled them.
Yep.
It's revenge time. 56-10, 62-28, 41-17, 28-6. Syracuse haven't beaten them since 2012. And it's no secret. Bobby Petrino is, you know, it's not just Bobby Petrino's wife or ex-wife that doesn't like him.
It's
whole
team.
Football coaches. Yeah, I don't know if they're still together, actually. Normally, I don't get personal, but when you crash a motorcycle with your mistress, then I get personal.
Well, half the team is transferring, and for crying out loud.
Yeah, and look at, you know, people have run the score up on Louisville because of this. Sort of like, sorry, kids, but, you know, your coach is a real jerk, and it's payback time. And I think that's what we see. Little cause for concern because Syracuse, who do they play next week?
Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm. And that game's right here in New York at Yankee Stadium. We'll get to the Michigan game. I'm going to be going to the game tomorrow, actually. But we're looking to, we could be going to the game next week as well. I'll tell you, it's easier to get tickets tomorrow for the Rutgers game than it is for the Syracuse. Lot more expensive, guys, I'll put it that way. But I think Syracuse is a real deal. I think Syracuse handled their business tonight. Might be a little bit of a sweatshop at times as far as the number. I mean, anytime you're laying 20.5 points, that back door is going to be swinging wide open. But when it's all said and done, I think Syracuse are relentless. Syracuse understand the stakes and how big things are. They can improve to 8-2 with a blowout win leading into Yankee Stadium. I expect it to happen. So I'm going to be laying the points for the Cuse. I'm going to be taking a small piece of the over in this football game as well. I think Louisville should be able to do enough to be able to get there. Now, as far as the nightcap is concerned, man, Fresno State, I don't think people – there's an East Coast bias, and we're on the East Coast. Yeah. But I'm sure a lot of your listeners right now aren't aware of how good Fresno State actually are. A very, very dangerous football team, one of the best football teams, ATS, over the last 2 years. Last year, they're the best team in the country. Against the spread, and this year they're right there again, ATS. Going into Boise, though, now, I think Fresno's probably a better football team, but, man, I believe I was polled earlier in the day, and I don't want to get the year wrong, but I think that Boise State haven't been home underdogs since, like, 1990 type thing.
Wow.
Like, it's that crazy. Like, even in that game when the Oregon Ducks were there, when LeGarrette Blount punched someone years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I think Boise's game was a pick-em type thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's been years, okay? I might be wrong off for like a couple of years. Boise just aren't home dogs very often. And you almost want to blindly bet it. But you remember what happened last year, guys? They played in back-to-back weeks. You know, Boise went to Fresno. It was the last game of the year, and they lost. And then they played the Mountain West title game in Boise, and they won.
Yep.
And they had a choice who they could send, and they sent Boise. So Fresno got a chip on their shoulder. It was like the commissioners of the board of the Mountain West decided they've got a chip on their shoulder. They don't like Boise State, and they are a better football team. They got a great quarterback. They got one of the best defenses in college football. And I know their schedule, strength of schedule isn't great, but I can't. This is one of these games where the green gazoo, like the old, green gazoo, saying, don't do it, dumb. Fresno's really good. How the hell do we pass up Boise on their home field getting points?
I love the gazoo reference. That's awesome.
Dumb.
Gabe Morenci is with us, Sheeman and Shepherd at 99.3 ESPN. All right, for Saturday's action, as we are paying more and more attention to the top-ranked teams for the college football playoffs, a lot of those top-ranked teams have big point spreads, games that they should win handily tomorrow. Anybody get tripped up tomorrow? Anybody you keeping an eye on?
You know, I don't think so. I think next week is going to be the week. I think Syracuse really can trip up Notre Dame next week. You know, Florida State, Florida State's just not going to have enough firepower, and we've seen what's going on with FSU this year to deal with Notre Dame. Alabama, and to be honest with the Alabama game, guys, I'm surprised the number's not more. You know, I've been thinking of Mississippi State, and we've bet against Mississippi State on this show a couple of times this year, and I've talked about how they're overvalued by the market for one reason or another on a weekly basis, and I think they're being overvalued here. I told you guys last week about Alabama being 8-0 against the spread in the first half. Well, now they're 9-0 against the spread in the first half this year. They've covered every game in the first half, and they're laying 24 in this football game. You know, the first half numbers don't come out at some spots. They're probably popping up right now. You know, they should be 14.5 in the first half. I doubt they're going to make it less than 14. They're going to make you lay the hook on top of it just because they're getting tired of getting beat. And last week, of course, the books got crushed. And I wasn't one to do the crushing, actually. Anytime you guys see that the public killed the book, I normally don't have a great week because, you know, I generally don't bet what the public is betting. So it's ironic. Everyone, hey, everyone won. Yeah, I didn't. I know that the books got, well, at least I'm honest, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I didn't get killed last week, but it wasn't some gold rush for me. I'll tell you that much. Florida Gators really cost me last week against Missouri. But so long story short, I'm laying the points with Alabama in the first half, and I'm a lifelong Michigan Wolverine fan since the late 70s. So I'm excited. I'm probably the only guy excited in the tri-state area to be going to the football game tomorrow. Michigan and Rutgers, but I think Michigan's going to cover this number. It's 39.5.
Yep.
I'll be looking at a first half situation as well. Rutgers still going to have a hard time scoring against Michigan, and Michigan's not going to let up. I don't think it's a case in which it's, well, you know, we're in if we win. You know, you've got Georgia lurking. There's still some uncertainty around Michigan. Their defense is just too good as well. I just don't think Rutgers can be able to score. It's tough if you don't want to lay the 39.5 points. I get it, but I think the first half is definitely something worth to take a look at, along with Alabama in the first half.
Yeah, and just real quick on the Alabama Mississippi State game, you think sometimes the odds makers get caught up in what happened the year before, where that game sort of kind of came down to the wire in Starkville, and that was a sounding board for Nick Saban the rest of the way. See, enough of these shenanigans. They can play us tough. But I agree with you. I think Alabama's going to destroy him on Saturdays. But, I mean, do you think sometimes if Vegas gets caught up with what happens the year before because it was such a close game?
Yeah, well, Mississippi State have played them tough. And as you stated, it was a 31-24 game last year. The year before that, though, it was 51-3. You know, the year before that, it was 31-6.
Yeah.
Both of which would get us covers in this spot. There have been instances where Mississippi State have played tough. I think the betting public sort of overthinks things. And we play the old look-ahead game, or it's a letdown, right? Well, it's going to be a little bit of a letdown. Alabama played against LSU, et cetera, last week. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think that, the old look-aheads, I was talking with Syracuse getting Notre Dame next week. How many kids in the room right now on Syracuse are thinking about Notre Dame right now?
No, I mean,
or are they looking at Instagram and some, some hot chick?
Yeah.
Or are they saying to their, I'm being real. Or are they saying to their buddy, man, I'm going to get a cut touchdown on TV tonight against Louisville. And I don't want to be flippant about it, but I bet you there's some kids on the team, they don't know they're playing Notre Dame next week. I think that the look ahead happens with the coaching staff. I think it happens with the coaches who start to take a sneak peek ahead, and then it trickles down to the intensity factor, maybe in the practices. But I find in today's day and age where kids, they don't even know their teammates' names, half of these guys. They don't care. Like, they really don't. Like, I told a story before. I know a professional football player, and his team won a football game. He ran over to the kicker, and he picked the guy up, and he said, "Great kick, Dan." And the kicker turned around, and he goes, "Dan got cut this week."
It's a rough world.
True story. True story. And he told them, anyways, welcome to the team.
That's right.
He was an O-lineman. He had no idea the field goal kicker got released. You know what I mean? He didn't know.
And the O-linemen are supposed to be the smart ones on the team, that's for sure.
Exactly. It's a great Ricky Henderson story, right, when John Olrud, even though the people say it's an urban legend, it's tough to nail down if it's true, but they were in Seattle, and Ricky Henderson sitting next to John Olrud, and he looks over. He goes, I used to play with a dude that used to wear a batting helmet at first base.
That's right.
And he goes, just like you. John Olerud goes, it was me, Ricky. We won a World Series together.
I've heard that. That's a great story. Yep. Gabe Morenci is with us from Fantasy Sports Network. And the remaining moments we have, anything jump out at you on Sunday? I know we'll see if the Rams have a bounce back game. I think Dallas gets killed in Philly personally. But what jumps out at you?
You know, Craig, it's interesting you bring up that Sunday night game because it really has that feeling, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just saw Dallas lose on Monday Night Football. Seems like Philadelphia, it's a good spot for them. Sunday Night Football, national television, sky's falling for the Cowboys. Everybody's just on the Eagles in this game so much. And the fact of the matter is, guys, you know the Dallas Cowboys record in that Jerry World Stadium? Straight up, 27-31.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're just not a good home team,
no.
And they haven't been a good home team since they moved into the stadium. But conversely, they've been pretty good on the road, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, Jason Kelce talking, I don't know if you guys talked about it with the, and, you know, it's not the biggest sports story of the week, so if you didn't, but, you know, we've got on our radio show in the mornings, we've got a Philly fan and a Cowboy fan, so we've been having a lot of fun with this game this weekend. Jason Kelce of the Eagles basically stated that he hates the Cowboys, that he's always hated the Cowboys, and it's not even about, like, the Eagle rivalry. He just basically stated that, I hate their fans, I hate what they stand for, they're front runners, they have a bunch of fans from around the country that, you know, have never really been to a Cowboy game, and just all front runners because they won before. He goes, they wanted to keep the replacement players. I read about that. Like, he hates Jerry Jones, he hates the Cowboys. That sort of gets the Cowboys' attention a little bit. Like, this is the season for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
It's going to be ugly if they lose. Garrett could get fired if they get blown out. National television, division rivals. And then today, there's in the news there, the 7-year-old kid sent a letter to the Cowboys telling them that they suck.
You know,
it's like, this is it for the Pokes. It just feels, I'm not saying it's the best week, Craig. I'm just saying it feels almost like a trap that people are walking into this. And then suddenly Elliott rushes for 149 yards. It's not like the Eagles are great.
Yeah.
You know, like, I get it. The Cowboys have issues. Scott Linehan should be fired. Their offense is putrid. Yet it's not like the Eagles are clicking on all cylinders right now either. The other one is a game in your guys' backyard here, which is the contrarian angle. I mean, why is Washington even getting on the plane, guys? They can't. All the injuries that they have.
Yeah. Yep.
Why they even bother going to Tampa to take on a Tampa Bay Buccaneer team that just covers every week, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, a Tampa Bay Buccaneer team that gives up 34 freaking points a game. Like, you know, this is another one where I'm not going to tell your listeners, hey, guys, you know, I love the Redskins this week, but really? I get it. There's injuries, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are favorites. You know, have you watched them play defense this year? You know, this is another one of these contrarian games where, and I've spoken to a lot of so-called smart people, and the same so-called smart people that told me all week that Baltimore, why they explained to me why Baltimore are favorites, are condescendingly telling me why now that Tampa are favorites right now. I don't know, man. Again, Alex Smith plus points against Ryan Fitzpatrick and his Bucs D and Dirk Cutter. I got to be leaning with the points. I'm really liking the dogs this week. The game that I do like a lot, guys, is the Detroit Lions this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this year against the Chicago Bears, the narrative has changed a little bit. You know, normally the Lions have been favorites over the years just because the Bears have been so bad. But you know how, like, certain division rivals, just certain, you know, they beat each other all the time?
Yeah.
This is the case that we have here, in which the Lions have owned the Bears, man. Matt Stafford is 9-1 straight up his last 10 games against the Chicago Bears. They're always close games, and I don't see any reason why this won't be a close game. The Bears are another team that aren't as good as people think they are. They beat the Bills last week. Good for them. But, you know, the Bears are good, but you can't be laying 7 points to them. To me, this is a game that comes down to the wire. Give me the 7 points with the Motown boys, even though I don't like Matt Patricia.
All right, sounds good. On that note, Gabe Morenci, find him on Twitter at Sports Rage, of course, the Fantasy Sports Network. Gabe, thank you as always. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Gabe.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. And you know what? I was just going to say on the way out, Matt Patricia wouldn't like me either. I've got horrible posture.
All right, that's pretty funny. All right, thank you, Gabe. Gabe, every Friday here, just to set us straight after we goof around with our pigskin picks.
Bring in the professional. All right, coming up, anything that he talked about you want to bounce on? I want to get some calls going. We got some must-win games for some teams in college football this weekend. We also, the Dolphins and Bucks fans, I feel your despair. Plus, we'll update our Twitter poll on sensitive sports fan bases. Sheeman and Shepard at 99.3 ESPN.
Radio Tinder.
I bet you'd swipe right on this show. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Craig Sheeman, Pete Shepard, Southwest Florida Sports Leader, 99.3 ESPN. On a Friday.
Awesome tune.
Wrapping up, it is, by the way. Wrapping up the witching hour of our pigskin picks and Gabe Renzi as well.
Really turned it around today.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Look, we've, in a year and a half, we've done about, what, 320 shows? I don't know.
Well, you're in 9 months. You're in.
Well, I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yesterday was a little rough. None of us were feeling well.
Bottom five.
Yeah.
The whole building was in a... I don't know what it was. It wasn't just us.
I nailed it. It was a malaise.
It was a malaise.
I don't even know what a malaise is, but it felt like a malaise.
Well, we turned it
Maybe
around.
Maybe being probed by aliens. Maybe that cigar-looking...
I didn't feel any probes.
...probe out of Star Trek IV up there with the whales. Maybe that was... you know, this week, that was a big story.
Yeah.
Are you really here? Are we here?
Are we just a figment of somebody's imagination or what?
Are we like just, maybe we're like in, like on the universal, like, what do you call those? You
know, spaceships.
Those, no, those balls that you shake.
Snow globes.
We're a big snow globe.
We're a big snow globe.
We got a Twitter poll going on right now. That's real.
Yeah.
Which fan base is the most sensitive? 350 votes. This is a good one. Yep. 44% say Cowboys, 23% say Steelers, 33% say Patriots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your Patriots are in second place. Second place losers. Can't even win that one.
Would have liked to see. No, I know we're just doing college, but I mean we're doing pros. But because this,
we'll come back Monday and do a Notre Dame college football.
Well, we could do if we did college. I think we'd have to do Notre Dame, Ohio State, and then
that might be a 2-man race right there. You might have just nailed the two most sensitive college.
Might have to do conferences. Just a conference. Pac-12.
Well, the SEC gets pretty defensive about its greatness.
Yeah, there's a complex there.
Yeah. But it's earned.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem with it.
You know what? And I never liked the SEC chant until I was at the Cotton Bowl between Bama and Michigan State.
Yeah.
And I was a part of the SEC chant, and it felt good.
The first time I heard it, LSU was taking on Ohio State. I was at the New Orleans Superdome, and that's the first time I heard it. That was a BCS championship game. Everybody's yelling, not LSU. They were yelling SEC, SEC.
Couple of quick notes. Ian Rappaport just tweeted out, Joe Flacco for the Ravens having tested to determine the severity of his hip injury. Going to be an interesting week in Baltimore. Get ready for Lamar Jackson next week. They're off this week, but get ready. And I think an interesting point by one of our texters at 239, no chance Le'Veon Bell tries to come back now. It is interesting. Now that Dez Bryant is
injured,
different situation. Dez had to lose some weight. I don't think that Bell is going to have to lose weight. He's not in football shape yet, game day shape, but I think he's in a hell of a lot better shape than Dez Bryant was.
All right, well, let's update that because it looks like he had a career or season ender earlier. Sheeman and Shepard.
This was Pete's fault.
What?
Clock integrity, Pete.
Yeah. He's been waving us on for 2 minutes to take a break.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And you're waxing poetically.
I didn't.
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN.